This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel. On the National Mall in Washington, D.C., the days leading up to the 4th are a season of wonder, a time when exotic structures appear on the lawn between the Capitol and the Washington Monument, when strangers appear in regional or national dress, intent on explaining themselves. This is the Smithsonian Folklife Festival, and this year, in addition to celebrations of Mali and Appalachia, it features a miniature castle tower, a scaled-down replica of the Road Hole at St. Andrews Golf Course, barrels of aromatic single malt, and the pervasive bleating of pipes. In the hot, humid, high ozone days of the Washington summer, here is a woolen and wilting Scotland. The musicians in this case are actually local, their kilts notwithstanding. They are the City of Washington Pipe Band. When the Washingtonian piper Mike Rogers finished marching, he found himself entranced by a demonstration of Scottish bellows-blown pipes.
Well, it's a different type of pipe. These are small pipes. They're quieter, more of an indoor instrument, but these guys make some of the best ones in the world, so.
He plays pretty well, too.
Yeah, he's a good player.
He plays with the bellows under his arm.
Yeah, they call it a cold wind pipe, so the moisture on your breath doesn't affect the reeds. So, that's an advantage.
You play that way as well?
No, but I'm thinking of getting a set.
How much would these set you back, a set of pipes?
What he told me is about $2,000.
$2,000?
Yeah. That's at the low end.
The men who make the pipes in Dunkeld, Scotland, are Hamish Moore and his son, Finn.
Yeah, I make pipes with my father. Been doing that the last 6 years.
6 years?
Yeah, and he started the business about 17 years ago.
And these are pretty high-end pipes, I gather.
This is,
are all pipes handmade, or?
No, there's some of the cheaper models. They, you know, get computerized lathes and turn them out, but we just hand make everything.
And are there any particular golden rules of making these things that one must know?
The most important thing is the reeds, which is what gives the pipes a sound. So the likes of the cane that we use and stuff has to be top quality, because in actual fact the wood and stuff, it's just tubes with holes up them, and you could make them out of anything. So the reeds are the most important bit.
The most challenging thing about interviewing Scots craftsmen and folk performers is being lulled into the illusion of understanding what's being said, only to notice that, imperceptibly, accent has turned to dialect, and dialect into a different language. We met up with the Scots storyteller Stanley Robertson, who is a traveller or gypsy, and Billy Kay, who makes documentaries for Radio Scotland.
Scots is a trilingual, historically a trilingual country. We speak Gaelic, we speak Scots, and in more recent times we speak English. And most people vary between Scots and English in their everyday speech, depending on who they speak to. Because I'm speaking to you just now, I'm speaking my version of standard Scottish English. But again, I was spearing at Stanley a question, I would switch into my Scots.
And if the two of you were to talk in Scots for a moment, what would it sound like?
How long have your family been travelling?
For probably well over 100 years.
What was the traditional work that your branch of the travellers did in the old days?
Was I the Auld Road in Lumphanan, and this is a place where Macbeth was called, kind of famous King Macbeth. He wasn't as bad as Shakespeare made him out to be. He was actually a very good king, because he got rid of the Vikings out of the land, and he reigned good for 10 years. But he was killed at the Battle of Lumphanan, I think about before William the Conqueror.
Born in Lasseo, for your bucket when he boo. Born in Lasseo.
To get a deeper feel for Scots dialect, we sought out a participant in the Folklife Festival who sings and tells stories in the tradition and accent of her native Deeside region.
My name is Sheena Blackhall, and I work with Aberdeen University as creative writer in Scots. So I'm a Scottish poet, singer and storyteller.
Sheena Blackall informs us that, like the apocryphal Inuits who allegedly have umpteen words for snow, real-life Scots have a glossary full of words for rainy, damp, cold weather.
Stervencal is very, very cold. Drich is the Scots word used a lot. It means it's a drich day, it's a gai drich day. It's damp, it's misty, it's mochy. Mochy is another word we use a lot of.
Any other words for wet weather?
Wheat, wheaty, doonpesh, och, drappendruth.
Drappendruth.
Drappendruth. Schmudrichs. Schmudrichs.
Schmudrichs.
Schmudrichs. That sounds Jewish, but it's not. No. You know.
And do you have words for this kind of weather that you've found here in Washington, D.C.?
Well, we don't have this kind of weather that you've got in Washington, D.C., which is why you see so many Burslin head Scots. Burslin means boiling. We all resemble lobsters today because we're not used to this at all. Tug the ribbon for your hair, for life's naught but grief and care. Tug the ribbon for your hair, bonnie lassie, oh.
And what was that line, life is none but...
No, life is nothing but grief and sorrow.
Nothing but grief and sorrow.
It's a trachle.
It's what?
It's a trachle. It's a chav. It's wearisome. We have lots of words for being tired. We have fair for fochen, funert, trachled, wearied. Clean Dean, all mean and exhausted.
And are there a lot of Scottish songs that are about how sad and tired and wet people are?
Oh,
all the
yes,
time?
Yeah. There's lots of dirges and they have laments. Or cool and sails, and the next air is sweeping. Macrimon's gone, and we are greeting blue eyes and doing our dim weeping. Macrimon's gone, on her he'll return. That's a lament.
So many of the songs you've told us about are so sad.
Yeah.
Do you have a happy song for us? A happy song about a pussycat.
Pussy at the fireside, supping up bros. Out come a cinder and burnt the pussy's nose. Ow, says a pussy, that was sair. Well, says a cinder, you shouldn't have been there. That's a salutary tale, but a cat sitting too near the fire and gets nose burned.
Not so happy for the cat.
But hysterically funny for everybody else.
It's funny for the others, but... Again, you know, not an uplifting song about how good life is.
A nice one, eh?
Yeah, okay.
The dog in the midden, he lay, the dog in the midden, he lay. He looked at the beam, he saw the moon shining, he cocked his tail and away, away. So that's a dog looking at the moon and he's so happy he pees and goes away.
The dog runs away.
He pees first.
So that would make him happy, isn't it?
Yes.
Sheena Blackall weathered the Smithsonian Folklife Festival in a fashionable Chanel blouse. Frank McAvity, the Scottish Minister for Tourism, was obliged to sport more traditional garb.
This is the day wear, because typically, being Scottish, we've also got day wear and evening wear.
So day wear, yes.
So this is what we do in the day, which is a sort of light green jacket, woolen jacket with the kilt. And then the evening, that would transfer to what was called the Prince Charlie jacket, which is a much more conventional, much more evening wear.
But you and other men who are here dressed traditionally, you're here in high woolen socks.
Yeah.
It's 95 degrees in Washington, D.C. You've got woolen jacket on, and your tie up to the collar and a woolen kilt.
I still feel comfortable.
You still feel comfortable?
Yeah, absolutely. Because what people don't understand enough is the kilt's an incredibly airy creation, and allows a bit of space and air to get through, so it's wonderful.
Before there can be a plaid kilt, of course, there must be plaid. Another Scottish craft on display, tartan weaving. The power loom may suggest something less than folkloric, But the marketing of tartan design to a far-flung, un-Scottish clientele is truly ingenious. Alwyn Johnston is a weaver with the world's largest firm, Lough Carron, located in Galashiels in the Scottish borders. He says the cloth coming off the loom as we speak is a pattern designed for the Smithsonian Institution. It's the Smithsonian's tartan. Likewise, he has produced a tartan pattern for New York City.
Now, take a look at it. And that there is Manhattan Island.
Well, no, see, that's square. Point? You're drawing a square,
that's
though.
Right. Yeah.
No, but Manhattan Island is long. It's
but that's the island.
Okay, all right. I'll
representative.
Buy that. Okay, right.
This is the Hudson River.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the Twin Towers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Central Park. So it's only done for the Tartan Week in New York. And that Sean Connery headed the Tartan Parade in that.
He headed it.
Headed it, yeah.
Yes, yes.
He was in front of the whole parade.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
That's the tartan he wore
for that
parade,
yes.
Yeah.
Ah, well,
and
we made it
for him, flew it out to him, and he got it about a minute before the parade. And luckily it fitted him, thankfully. Because, you know, he's licensed to kill, so he may have come and got us if it wasn't right.
Lest any Scottish cliché go unobserved, we checked in with Peter Gordon, sent to the Folklife Festival by William Grant & Sons Distillers, makers of Glenfiddich Single Malt Scotch.
This is a cask which was filled first in 1937, and we bottled it last year, and this is the first time we've sort of taken it out of Scotland to let everyone sort of smell what it might smell like. There's an incredible smell of age. You know, that and a sweetness there, which is, you know, remarkable.
So that scotch in there has taken in a lot of this barrel over 60
years. It's just
over
60 years now, yeah. And it's and you can still, there is a sort of an acidity there, which means I think some of it has gone maybe over the top to what most people would like. But it has become quite an acquired taste, you know, stuff that has aged this long.
And what was Glenfiddich selling this for a bottle when it
was, I don't know whether there's any left, you see, so I'm not trying to sell it. But it was selling for about $15,000 a bottle.
A bottle? Oh, yeah. $15,000 a bottle.
Yeah. So a nip, that smell you've just had was probably about $15.
It's the most luxurious thing I've done all day.
Smells, sounds, and sights of Scotland from the Smithsonian Institution's Folklife Festival on the National Mall. You can see photos and hear more music at our website, npr.org.